All right. Hold up your Bible. I want to see all the Bibles. It's 11:23, so I've got a little bit of time to preach the Word of God. I'm going to try to be done by 11:59. Do y'all believe that? Probably, though. Might be earlier. Might be a minute or two longer, but it doesn't matter. We're just going to be led by the Spirit of God. Since I saw all the Bibles, I want you to turn to James chapter 1. Now, as you turn there, most of you know that's a wonderful epistle that the Spirit of God had the Apostle Paul write to James. And, whoo, man, I love the epistles. Those little books of the Bible are outstanding in a lot of ways. People ask me, where should I start reading the Bible? And most of the time I'll say, man, you can't go wrong starting with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Usually in a different way, it's a different person writing it, but they're saying basically what they testified to with Jesus and his birth, and, you know, they were disciples. But I love starting in the book of Ephesians or the book of James or Timothy and those kind of books, because, man, they're powerful. And they're not very long, but yet I've preached in the first, five or six verses for two services already. And I don't know how far I'm going to get right now, but I just want to continue to deliver what the Spirit of God is trying to teach all of us here in the book of James. Now, to catch anybody up very, very briefly, you cannot miss the very first part of James after verse 1, because it's those introductions are usually the same with the Apostle Paul. But the very second verse, you cannot miss what he says by saying this: count it all joy. You can't miss that. Because if you miss that, some of the rest of it, it's not going to make much sense. Because that's what we talked about, is joy, a couple of weeks ago. And then we got into do it all by faith. And I talked about faith a lot last week. Because faith is what we all live by in the kingdom. Faith, according to Hebrews, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In cowboy terms, that just simply means you got to believe in something before you see it manifest. That's faith. We cannot see God the Father. We cannot see in the physical His Son Jesus, our Savior. We have to have faith, a belief that Word of God is true. Because if you believe this Bible, then all things are possible to him that believes, right? Okay? So understanding that joy comes and it's all done by faith is very important. We just believe in order to count it all joy that by faith it causes patience to come. And we learned all of this, because remember verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts, look at me just for a second, because we need to get a hold of this. And all really we're doing by ministering in the book of James is helping all of us live in this world, a chaotic world, by the way, right? But not of the world. And that's why you come to church. We have to understand that biblically, when you give your heart to Jesus, right? And I know this is so basic, but it's amazing how much of the basics we need to get back to all the time. In anything. Roping, riding bulls, having a business. I mean, if you don't apply basics of a swing, then you're not going to swing correctly. And if you don't have the basics of a swing of a rope, then when you throw it to a target, It's probably not going to go to the target, right? And you can watch it on TV all the time. Anybody that misses roping wise, it's because they didn't do something with the basics of something. Maybe it might be their riding, their position. I mean, the list can go on and on. But we always need to get back to the basics. And the basics of the Word of God is faith. We have to believe that this Bible is true. And then if we believe that it's true and we apply what it says to our lives, then manifestation always comes. And joy is one of them. So if you're going through a hard time right now where it seems like you don't have much joy, oh, you're just kind of getting through life. But you don't have true joy, then this message is for you. Now, again, let's major though, asking in faith, not doubting. Because you remember when Jesus declares in John chapter 14 that, he's trying to declare some important things. I preach this message a lot at funerals, at going home celebrations, because it starts off saying, "Let not your heart be troubled," right? And it goes on down and it talks about mansions in heaven, how God, you know, Jesus was prepared a place for us, and where we go, you won't know, but where I am, there you need to be also. And, you know, it's just following Jesus. And then doubting Thomas, remember? And Thomas goes, "Wait a minute, Jesus, how do we know the way?" You know, and Jesus then has to declare, "Wait a minute, you traveled with me." And he declares this in verse 6, remember? "I'm the way," Jesus is saying. "I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me," Jesus, you see. There's always an opportunity to doubt. But if you live by faith and you are convinced that the Word of God is for you and not against you, then that's how we live. We live by, "No, I'm going to trust God no matter what I see. No matter what I hear out there in that world. I'm not going to live by the five physical senses," in other words. We all need to live by God's Word, see. Because it's easy to doubt. "Yeah, but you should look at my bank account. It don't look too blessed." Well, wait a minute. By faith, Matthew says to call things that be not as though they were. So, personally, I may see that it doesn't look too good, but you know what comes out of my mouth? Number one, not losing my joy is pretty important. But what comes out of my mouth would be, "Father, I just thank you, Lord, that my bank account's overflowing in abundance of finances in Jesus' name." Now, a common religious person would go, "Yeah, but you're lying to yourself." Oh, no, you're not. You're just confessing the Word of God so that you call things that be not as though they were. And if you do that, then faith is operating. And I'm telling you, that's when manifestations happen in people's lives, when they're believing God for something. Because if a doctor tells you you're dying, right? We say this all the time. If the doctor told you you're dying in 6 months, you're either going to believe it or you're going to believe the Word of God by faith. And by faith, it says, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. "Yeah, but I don't feel healed." Again, you're not moved by what you feel. You're moved by the Word of God by faith, you see. Once you really get a hold of it, I mean, things will start happening in your life. I mean, you'll have answer after answer, manifestation after manifestation. I mean, you'll be in that bubble of the blessing, you know. And I'm telling you, that's where people need to get. So you come to a church where they preach faith. They preach, "Hey, the Word of God is true and it'll work for you if you just believe it." Well, then what that does for a true believer of Jesus Christ is it goes, "Okay, praise God. Yeah, it doesn't look good over there and the doctor didn't say that, but I believe the Bible." Now, again, I always say it, the fact is what the doctor says, but the truth is what that Word of God says. And if you believe the truth, right, I say it all the time. You believe the truth more than the fact. The truth override the fact. And that's when you see signs and wonders that follow all of us that, say it louder, believe. We've got to start being believers. So the Lord will give us a message, and all the people in the Bible went through all the stuff that we're going through. And James, in this book, we're getting preached to that, hey, if you'll just, number one, don't lose your joy, right? And understand that whatever's going on, yeah, it might cause some patience to come. So be patient. It's okay. That's a hard thing for me as well. I want things to happen. I want mountains to move right now. There's a time, though, when God's saying, yeah, but why don't... Hold on just a second, son. Let me get a few things out of the way. Some doubting, some fears. And you might not even know that they're trying to creep in. Let me get them out of the way so that I can get you to the promised land. So I can get you to that faith, that belief, that manifestation and things. But what stops that you're seeing is doubts. Instead of no, if the word of God says it, I believe it. Say amen to this. So let's go on, because it'll make sense as we go on. So ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. How many of you know a wave just keeps going? Man, when it starts, it just keeps going and going and going. That's what this is talking about, see. Verse 7 says, for let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because if he doubts, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, how many of you know, if you have seen people or if it's happened in your own life, when there's just stability problems? I just don't feel stable, man. I feel like I've kind of gotten onto some sand. And when you're on sand, what does it do? I mean, it washes away, right? It's not. That's why parable after parable, Jesus taught us to don't get on sand. Stay on the rock, because Jesus is the rock. See, all that we're saying here through the book of James is, if you lose your joy in any situation, you're going to lose strength. Then it moves on to let patience have its perfect work. So, in other words, when you're going through something and you're trusting God, then just stand on it. Don't be moved, in other words. Just stay hooked and do it in faith. And if you do it in faith, then you're not going to doubt. But if some doubting comes in and you meditate on the doubting and the fear and the unbelief, then you're a double-minded man. Because you can't live by faith and live by fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith. So we're trying to get us all convinced, or the Word of God is actually, that if we'll just live by faith and we'll trust God in everything, even if we don't know what to do, then we are to stand. Remember when the Bible says, if you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. In other words, just stand until the manifestation comes. Because you don't want to be double-minded. You don't want to try to live by fear, but then live with the world's system, which is fear, doubt, and unbelief. Anything opposite of faith is not good for a believer, because there's mixtures of fear, doubt. Well, listen, there's that temptation all the time to live in fear, right? Matter of fact, there's one religion that we all know of. And I just got to be honest with you, I think that's why God's using the Western world in the last days. It's because we're the last group, culture of people that's still masculine. Everything else, women are having to become men because men aren't standing up being the man that God's called them to be. So the woman has to be it. And then confusion comes in where our government, half of them, can't even define what a woman is, right? And we're seeing all of this stuff. So I've never been afraid to just say it. I'm not afraid of losing a 501c3. If you're watching, and I'll just tell everybody here, because it's not a secret, we are not a 501c3. We are an SS4 form. You know what that is? It's the same laws as of a nonprofit as a 501c3, but you know what a 501c3 does? Government can take it away. And I had the mightiest men of God say, hey, you don't have to be a 501c3. It has nothing to do with taxes or nonprofit status. If you're meeting, you fall under all the laws of a nonprofit church. And I'm pretty sure we're meeting, right? Here's the deal. When I ate with the government, they were amazed that, we can't control that church, that old cowboy church over there. He can say whatever he wants to. The thing is I better say what the Word says. Say amen to this. Everybody gets, you're not a 501. I tell every church and minister I can come into, don't be controlled by the government. The state cannot take a 501c3 away from us if we don't have one. Okay, so I'm going to say what I'm fixing to say. And I'm going to say it out of love, okay? Because I think it's very important that we perfect our love walk, because we are not against anyone. Remember, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against a person. You know what we wrestle against? If you know the Word, if you've been saved very long, you know what I'm fixing to say, right? We wrestle against spiritual darkness. Principalities of the wicked. And that's what we wrestle against, a devil who comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So I'll just say it. There's a religion that is based on fear. And we obviously know, if you study out, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Muhammad is, when he died, he was not raised from the dead. Therefore, that whole Islamic religion is based in fear. If you don't believe in it, their Quran says they'll kill you. Kill the infidel. So, we have to understand that fear can't be a part of a believer's life in Christ Jesus. And we've got to have some boldness to finally say that it's the fastest growing religion in America right now. And you know what the church has done? We have backed up and just allowed it to happen because we haven't stayed on our knees in prayer. We haven't preached faith. And I'm telling you, this church is going to continue to be preached with the truth of the Word of God, which is by faith, not fear. You do not have to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if you don't want to. But I'd advise you to please serve that God. Because then when you stand before God, the Bible calls it the great judgment day. All of us are going to be standing. Every time I do that, I see that bald spot. We're going to be standing. Father, hair grow in Jesus' name. Talked about your confession. Anyway. Why wouldn't we be like that person? You know? Hair grow. Right? What else? Well, let's move on. Now, when you stand before God on the great judgment day, nothing is going to matter except, is Jesus Lord? Not a sacred cow. Do you realize there's a religion that worships cattle? Let me use some King James. Thou Cory Rothus, Rosseth, Edith Cowis, Calleth. I'm trying to use King James. I don't know anyway. All right. So let's really, really get down to some good stuff. How many of you know it's very important to be word-minded and not double-minded? Because double-minded is your... And the world calls it, in some religions, some religious people, I'm not talking they're bad, they... You hear that saying, fence riders. Don't ride the fence. Really, really, to be real honest, I think it's impossible to ride the fence. I'm not saying you can't do some good things in the kingdom and then live like the world. I mean, you can. But really, when you're in one, you're in it. Then you're going to have to come out of it to get into the other. So I would rather live in the kingdom of God. And that's why we're just trying to learn here. Now, the reason I said that we have to do things in love is we're not against the people that are serving a false god, right? We're wrestling against that spirit that's behind it. And that's a major Bible study right there. You should come on Tuesday and just start. Maybe that's what starts, you know, you start learning, you know, why certain people were born out, you know. And I mean, I can go through a long... I kind of talked about it at the minister's conference a little bit about, you know, how some was born, you know, when they shouldn't have. I mean, there was some marriages that got in trouble. And instead of having a baby in marriage, they went out and someone else was pregnant by the husband of another, you know, woman's husband. And I mean, it caused some curses to come. But that's a major... We can talk about that, but we don't need to right now, because what we don't need to do is be double-minded. We need to stay focused on the Word. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. Thank God for grace and mercy. Amen. But the thing is we're trying to learn how to live in the kingdom of God, because we don't want to be unstable in all our ways. So why don't we rather get fixated on the Word and the Word only? So that's why you come to church. Or you go to Bible study, and you can raise your hand at Bible study and say, hey, would you explain that a little bit more in depth? And that's a good thing. So in order to live in faith, we've got to be believers of the Word of God, because Jesus is the Lord, and we don't want to doubt, because then we're double-minded and unstable. Now, go on to verse 12. Because verse 9 and 10, 11 just talks about the perspective of a rich man and a poor man. And all God's saying right there is, hey, listen, trust God. Because sometimes when you're a wealthy person, you have a tendency to not trust in the Lord, because you have everything available to you. And so God's saying, hey, you need to be like the poor person in your spirit man, who walks in humility and truly trusts God, not like someone that's rich. Now, that never says that God doesn't want you wealthy, because He wants you wealthy. Owe no man but to love Him, right? He just doesn't want, again, money to control you. So we got to learn all that. All right. Now look at verse 12 as I begin to wrap this up for the day. I'm not going to get where I want to, but that's okay. What does the first word say? Blessed. Say it louder. Blessed is the man, woman, same thing, who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Now, I want to talk about really fast three words. The very first one is blessed. Because in order to count it all joy when things happen and you fall into divers temptations or whatever, and then it leads to patience, etc., and then we're doing it by faith, we're not doubting, then we have to understand that the blessing of God is very, very important. So turn back to your left just real fast to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew's gospel and chapter 5. And I don't know what's going on with me and the Lord right now, but for some reason, He has given me a teaching anointing where, no, because normally, you know, I pastor very evangelistic. I want to fire you up. I want to get you born again. That's what I do when I leave. I need to get you fired up. But on the other hand, we've got to start learning how to live in the kingdom and not of the world. We got to know what to do when all hell breaks loose in our lives. Are we going to go back to the days of Babylon? That is just before you gave your life to Jesus? Or are we going to stay in the kingdom of God, doing what the kingdom of God says to do? Because His ways are perfect, right? Now, when you understand blessed is the man who endures, then you know what blessed is? Awesome Greek word. It's suggesting happy, supremely blessed, a condition which congratulations are in order. When you really know that you're blessed, people can, you don't have to tell them you're blessed. I've always said it before, I don't tell people I'm a pastor. I don't have to. You know why? Because I walk in it. Teddy is a world champion steer wrestler, if you don't know it. He's here today visiting. He doesn't have to tell anybody that he's a world champion. You know why? He walks in it. He don't have to build himself up. Now, he might have a buckle on. And that buckle says a lot. You don't have to, when you're a cowboy, this is our reward a lot of times, besides finances. Buckle. And then people go, oh, you won Ellensburg, Washington. Or they'll go to him and say, he's a world champion. It says it right there. But he doesn't have to say it to everybody. It's the same in the kingdom, y'all. When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to act holier than thou. You just have to walk in who you are in Christ Jesus. When you have joy, that's what you walk in. And then people go, why are you so happy? And there's the open door, of course. You know why I'm happy? Because Jesus is my Lord. Okay, see you later. But it's still an open door, right? Because you know what you did? Even if you run them off, all you're running off is the Spirit that's controlling them. Because if Jesus is Lord, they're going to go, oh, I'm saved too. I'm born again. Let's talk. And then there's a lot of communication. If Jesus is truly not the Lord, then that spirit wants to get out of there. Why? Because at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Right? So, what we're trying to learn here is that, number one, we're blessed. When you serve God, you are blessed. So stop confessing that you're not. It doesn't matter what you did back when. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you were in yesterday. Thank God that today's a new day. So I'm just trying to tell you that you're blessed. You are highly favored of God. Now, you don't go around telling everybody that you're blessed. Just walk in it. Have joy. When you walk in joy, what does it do? It makes people attracted to you in a positive way. Because they're going to constantly say, why are you so happy? You're going to say, well, because I won the dance contest because I was the best. Thank you for asking. But she's not going to automatically go out into the world, hey, everybody, I'm better than you. I got the moves that can do it. I don't know if that kind of hurt my back right there, but no, you just walk in it, right? Jet, when you win a college rodeo, you know what it makes people do? Not makes you hold your head up and your chest out. Thank you, Lord. If you'll come back Sunday and the next Sunday, we're going to continue this because you're going to find out who really is responsible for the blessing of God in your life. And if you want to, you can read on down because you'll find it. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so honored that God called me. But see, that's what you are to be saying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Not, you know, I'm just unworthy. I grew up hearing that. You know, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. And in all reality, all that was saying to them is, you don't understand that you're actually a king's kid. Because you're convincing yourself that you're not. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Think about that. Not, well, the devil's convincing me of all the stuff I did wrong yesterday in my marriage or with my children or finances or this or that, or I cussed, I did. And God's saying, hey, forget about all that stuff. Today's a new day. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Amen. And then you could take a deep breath. Because yeah, maybe you did go through a very tough situation, a major trial, a major tribulation. Something that's very difficult right now. But here's the deal. Count it all. Say it with me. Joy. Come on. Say it louder. Count it all. Joy. Because when you get that attitude, you don't have to tell anybody you're a Christian. You don't have to tell anybody you're a world champ. You don't have to tell anybody that you're a pastor. You just walk in it. You just remain in joy no matter what. Oh, Father, forgive me. I did that. And then God says, forgiven. Just don't do it again. He don't even remember it anymore as far as the east is to the west. So today I'm saying we're not doubters. We're believers. And we're not double-minded. We're believers. Amen? We're not trying to make mistakes. If we do, grace and mercy, stop doing them. Learn from them. Walk forward. We're not thinking of what's behind. We're pressing forward to the mark of the high calling. And let's move on in Christ Jesus. Say amen if you agree. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that again we can receive the Word of God and it makes sense. But Father, I realize that we're going to have to apply it. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that we receive what you preach to us in James by faith. That's what you said. Let them ask in faith. So everything we do is going to be done in faith. So help us, Lord. Help us. Help us learn how to never doubt, just to believe in the Word of God. That the things will come to pass. And whatsoever we say with our mouth, we don't doubt in our heart. We just believe what we say. It'll come to pass. We'll have whatsoever we say. So we're going to start saying the word, sir. So Father, if there's anyone in here that is struggling in some area or they know someone that's struggling, I thank you, Lord, that faith would be preached to them out of love. They would just start getting people that are positive. They declare the word of God that is yes and amen. And Father, thank you for that. Now, sir, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus, I ask you, as the word says, draw their heart to you. Not to a church, not to some preacher, to you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I beg you to give your heart to Him, Jesus. And so that's what I want to present to you this morning. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If He's not, the way you make Him Lord is Romans 10:9. You confess Him out of your mouth that He's Lord. That's why we pray, and we're fixing to do it. We pray, Jesus, come into my life and save me. I make you, and you believe what you say, right? I make you, Jesus, my Lord. And when you do that, woo, Jesus, He becomes the Lord of your life. Every sin is forgiven. The blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sin, remember? God, thank you, Lord. But if you're here this morning or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, in other words, you don't know if you died and left this earth, if you'd go to heaven or if you'd go to the place that preachers don't talk about called hell. Because hell's a real place, y'all. I want you to choose heaven. The only way, according to the Word of God, Romans, John, we talked about it already, is by receiving Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. All the believers in here, as you know, are going to pray the salvation prayer that I'm going to pray. And I want you to repeat it after me. But if there's anyone here that has never given their heart to Jesus, the Son of God, then I'm going to ask you to pray the prayer with all of us believers. And I want the believers to know, if you don't, I'm sure you do because I say it all the time, that we're having you pray the prayer, to pray it with people around you that may be praying and asking Jesus to come into their lives for the very first time. You're going to pray it with them. But really, you're praying it to learn it. If you pray the salvation prayer, then when there's an open door at your job, at school, wherever you're at, to lead someone to Jesus, that has to be our heart, y'all. Then you'll know the prayer, because you pray it all the time at church. But if you're here again this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you pray this prayer and just invite Jesus to come into your life? And I ask you to do it, because eternity in heaven is way better. I can't even describe that. Way better than eternity in hell by rejecting this God stuff, this Jesus. So again, if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer out loud where your ears can hear it, and pray it just like this. You ready? Say out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Be my Lord. Father, thank you that every sin is forgiven. And today, I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. And I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, on this earth, I need a Savior. I need wisdom. I need a friend. And I can find that in you, sir. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come into your life, I don't care how many times you've been to church, have you ever made Jesus the Lord of your life? And you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then you just got born again. Here's what I want you to do with no one looking around, because I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or you're watching, and you just gave your heart to Jesus. When I count to three, I want you to be bold to raise your hand up and put it right back down. Here's what you're doing. You're confessing Jesus before men. Jesus said, if you do that, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. I always say it like this. In other words, never be ashamed that Jesus became your Lord, because that's the only way to heaven. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, then acknowledge it right now when I say three. One, two, three. Get that hand up. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. I don't know if he was saved, but I would have raised that. Sometimes people, look at me, everybody. There's one boy saved, if he was saved, or if it finally, Billy Graham got saved at what, 4 or 6? He was young. And it just, it meant something to him. And sometimes people finally get it. Oh. And they'll raise their hand. And then there's some people that just raise it every time for fire insurance. Hope you had a good time.